One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take, the ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio RMN. My name is Raylan Allen, and today we're going to have a wonderful conversation with Liddell Patterson. Liddell started the Bana Project in Lesotho. How do you pronounce that correctly?
That's a pretty good effort. It's Lesotho. That is correct.
Lesotho. All the rest of us pronounce it Lesotho.
That's the American way to do it.
Well, I was reading in your Bana Project webpage about the work that you do over there, and what I discovered is that Lesotho is the country. Sesotho, is it Sesotho is the language?
Sesotho.
Sesotho is the language.
Yes.
And then
all the O's are pronounced ooh.
Ooh. And then the people, the people are called what?
Basotho, Basotho.
So it's like all you have to do is look at those three words, and you know the country, the language, and the people are all one.
That's correct. 99% of the country are native Basotho.
And where is Lesotho? Is it Lesotho or Lesotho?
Lesotho is okay. Lesotho is what I call it.
Lesotho
is found as far south on the continent of Africa as you can go, an independent nation completely wrapped around by South Africa.
Interesting. I did not know that. So this nation of Lesotho is right in the middle of South Africa.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. And you've opened the Bana. Is it Bana? How do you pronounce Bana?
It's Bana, which means child or children in their language.
Okay, so it's the Bana Project. Now let's just start talking about, I do want to tell people how they can get there, though. It's the Bana Project, B-A-N-A, thebanaproject.com, and you can see...
.org.
Well, no, I'm on the one.com. Is it? It may be both. Let me put .org in there, too.
You're correct. You're correct. It's bonaproject.com, but it's also bonaproject.org as well.
It's bonaproject.org also. Oh, but it comes out the same. It's the same exact thing.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, a lot of people do that. Now, tell me, what is the Bana Project, and how did you and your wife get involved with it?
Well, let's begin. Just a snippet of history, our history. My wife and I were appointed as missionaries in Lesotho in 1990 with an organization. And we were there for 3 years, working with the Bible school, the churches. We had a medical clinic my wife was director of, and came home 1993. Due to unforeseen circumstances, we were not able to go back in that capacity. And so we stayed here in this country until about 2003, and made an exploratory trip back there because we had kept in contact with the people and had many friends there. And so we went back simply to check in to see how things were going. When we were faced with the tragic circumstances and the invasion of AIDS and the HIV virus.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first case of AIDS was recorded in 1986. And so when we were there, there was very little activity of AIDS, people coming to our clinic. And so when we went back in 2003, there had been a drastic difference take place, and we saw the great need among the orphans, and we came home excited to try to help those who were there to become involved with the orphans. And when we were unable to satisfactorily find a way to help them, we decided to create our own independent entity. And so my wife and I and two of our sons developed this operation among the AIDS children there. And since we had long relationships with people there, it was very easy for us to find infrastructure that was stable enough to where we could begin. And so we officially began 2003 with a slow progress for a couple of years, until we were able to get everything set up and arranged in committees and directors and so forth. And we began feeding 25, 35 children in the beginning. Had no support, but we decided to do this with our own money. And we did that for several years until we began to get a little bit of support from the public. But that's how we began.
And now, are you getting more support? Has it been able to grow? Or is it still basically you and your wife are putting it together?
Yes. We have a few supporters. We have had a few churches in the past help us.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, our support comes from just different individuals whom we or our two sons know, and they're a handful, just a handful. But enough until we can, we put right at $1,600 U.S.
Mm-hmm.
into this project, and it takes care of right at 2,000 orphans.
That's extraordinary. Now, we have an ad for you on Rumor Mill News, and it's a pair of shoes. And
yes.
Why? Tell me about that image. Why shoes?
Those shoes represent a great need among the school with the school uniforms that we provide for the children.
Yes.
Those shoes represent a pair of shoes that we bought for an orphan. And they're so cheaply made, they walk out of them literally in about 3 months.
Well, now, how do you get shoes? I mean, if, you know, if somebody who is listening to this has a whole bunch of children's shoes, can they just send them to you?
It's very difficult to import used clothing and used shoes and so forth.
That's what I thought.
And one of the reasons is because they can be purchased right there in their city.
Uh-huh.
It just takes funding for it. And so part of our major focus is changing a little bit to make sure that each of those orphans are in school. If they are in school and they're able to get their education, they are required to have a full-scale school uniform.
Okay.
Which involves a dress or a pair of pants and shoes and socks and a carrying bag.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have that, then they can't participate, you know, in their own community activities hardly at all. And that within itself creates a lot of hopelessness in their lives. But once they get in school, that changes. And it's amazing how you can change a child's life simply by getting them back in school.
Now, how does somebody endow one of your children with the uniform and the shoes?
It takes right at $70 for a school uniform. That is without the pair of shoes. Shoes are very difficult for us to keep on those children. They're growing. Their feet are changing. They don't last long. And that's probably one of our most expensive things that we provide there.
And so do you buy everything locally?
We buy everything locally, including the food.
And that helps the community.
Absolutely. It benefits their economy. We've had a number of people approach us to do a food relief by shipping in food from the Western world.
Yes.
But those people won't eat the food we eat here.
Well,
that's not in their diet.
They probably eat much better than we do, quite frankly.
Well, it would be interesting for our public to know that any food that is eaten in Lesotho is better than our food that is here because it's not tainted with the pesticides and the fertilizers and the microwave and whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
What kind of food can be grown over there?
A corn, which they call maize, and grain sorghum, which they use as a porridge and a hot cereal. We feed our grain sorghum here in the U.S. to our cattle, but over
right.
there they eat it. And it's quite nutritious for them.
I would imagine that it has all sorts of minerals in it. So
we have a pig project. This was a creation all of their own. They raise pigs. It's probably the cleanest pig project you'll ever see.
Wow.
It's very clean. They take great pride in making sure those pigs are kept clean and their pens are clean so that they do not smell. And then they use those pigs, they butcher them, and helps feed the orphans. So they eat a lot of pork, they eat some beef, and then your normal vegetables that even we would eat here, carrots and potatoes and peppers and so forth.
Well, it doesn't sound that much different, but it does sound a lot healthier because I know they don't have the pesticides. And, you know, the pigs aren't being fed pig parts like they're, you know, here in the United States.
The unfortunate thing is their seeds that you buy there are genetically altered like ours here now.
Oh, that's too bad.
And so they're having trouble, you know, they store a little bit, but then it doesn't grow the next year.
I know.
And so,
sadly, the only way... and I don't know if this is even possible in Lesotho. We've got to start growing in greenhouses because genetically modified seeds breed with the heirloom seeds, and you're right, they won't have seeds anymore, but greenhouses, they would be able to do that.
There is a place here in the U.S. that sells the non-genetically altered seeds, and I'm not allowed to give that information on the radio. And there is strong effort in South Africa and Lesotho among the farmers to try to build a resource of seeds that can be purchased so that they can begin to grow the non-genetically altered seeds.
Yeah, yes, a seed bank. It's very important. I mean, we even have an advertiser on this station. In fact, his show follows me that deals in these kinds of seeds, and everybody needs to have them. But as I said, if you don't have a greenhouse, you'll only have one crop, and you'll never be able to harvest them, you know, to plant another one because they just simply won't grow.
That's correct.
And so, you know, even if you've got a little bit of a backyard, everyone, you can put some plastic, you can stretch plastic over it, and you can grow your own food year-round, and then you can harvest those seeds and keep them year-round. How many orphans? Now, your orphans are orphans because their parents died of AIDS, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how many do you feed these days?
Okay, I guess I've gotten a little ahead of myself, so let me slip back into our history a little bit, and it'll answer that question.
Okay, good.
And so... when we began to feed these orphans, we developed a director. He found a central steering committee, and we are working currently in 28 villages that has to have the sanction of the village chief, since it is a kingdom, each village has their own chief. And so we are connected. I think you may have read on our site with some 50,000 people made up of citizens, village chiefs, their assistants, members of parliament who live in those villages, and police and so forth. So we're well known in the area where we work. And we have developed what we call a community-based volunteer support system where each of the village creates their own support group who answer to the Central Steering Committee and our director, and they have an amazing unity among these 28 villages because the greatest activity that's taking place around them is our project. We not only feed them and bring them to two central locations to distribute the food and the clothes and so forth. We have small farm projects that are going where we teach the orphans how to plant and take care of their own garden and hopefully learn to take care of themselves. Now this is taking place in the mountains with another organization extremely effectively, where they take the orphans after their parents die and teach them how to work their field because they have 1 year after their parents die to work their field or they lose it.
Oh boy.
And so in the mountains, they have, their program is actually a little more advanced than ours, but we're in hopes to follow suit and do something like they're doing. They're involved in what is called zero-till planting, where they have a little instrument that plants a seed, that a child can plant a seed and then plants a bit of fertilizer beside of it, and they do not till the ground.
That is just amazing. I've heard of this before. So that the ground, yes. You lose no topsoil in that method.
You lose no topsoil, and in about 2 years, when you begin this, the soil becomes accustomed to it and produces amazing crops for these children.
Think of this, I'm going to try it right in my backyard. Hold on, because we've got to go to break right now.
Okay.
We are talking with Levine Patterson, and he has created a group in Lesotho called the Bonner Project. And can you give out that website so people can go there?
Yes. It is the Bonner Project. CHEBANAPROJECT.com.
Okay, great. And we will be right back here. And make sure that you all get over to TalkStreamLive.com and give us a vote. We need lots of votes right now. And we'll be right back here on the Micro Effect Radio Network.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.